Yes, Lord. nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Sing it again. My hope is
can ring so true in so many of our lives. The cornerstone, Jesus being the cornerstone, but sometimes we don't allow him to be that cornerstone in our lives. I saw this picture as I was playing, and our lives is just a house, and every house has a cornerstone. But we take Jesus to our house and we go, okay, here's the front door, Lord. You stay there. I'll pick you back up on Sunday. And that cornerstone, when it's not at the corner, your house is going to fall apart. Your life is going to fall apart. And you may seem to be like, no, I'm just going to tack this up here. And I'm just going to come over here and I'm going to tack this up here. And I'm going to put a little bit of tape on this. And I'm going to put a little bit of plaster on this. But you can bandage your life up as much as you want. But without that cornerstone, it's going to fall apart. And without that cornerstone, it's going to come tumbling down. You may be able to survive for the moment. You may be able to survive for the time. But when the winds of life come and the storms of life blow, you are going to fall. Lord, I just pray right now over this whole congregation, Father God, over the Yakima Valley, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that we will make you our cornerstone, Father God. God, that you will be the cornerstone of our lives, Father God. Not just on Sunday, Father God. Not just when we're around our church friends, if you will, Father God. God, but every day as we're going out on the battlefield, Father God, as we're going to work, as we're with the people that need you the most, Father God, will you be our cornerstone then, Father God?
Jesus. Yeah, now it is. Thank you. Yes. Glory, Lord. Last week when the women were at Battleground, we learned a new song, Anchor My Soul. Take anchor, my soul. And the Lord is showing me that some of us are in a boat, and we are just rowing and rowing and rowing, and we are trying to go so fast to get away with all the troubles and the worries and the disappointments that are in life. And the Lord God is saying, stop. Stop. Do you see me? I am standing on the shore, and I am there waiting for you to call me to come anchor with me. So the Lord God doesn't want us fighting and thinking we can solve it all. He wants us to anchor our souls with him. And every worry, every disappointment, every time we're angry, every frustration, the Lord God is ever present. The Lord God sends forth his grace. The Lord God is merciful and righteous, and he wants us to live in the light of his glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace.
I'm trying to say things right now, but the thing is the Holy Spirit is just holding me back for a second here. We're talking about cornerstone. Jesus being the cornerstone. The life in our, as we even see, we speak, we hear. having the Holy Spirit in my life after yesterday just produced something even more special in my life. What God has shown me is that every day in our life, we have to share it. We have to experience moment by moment, because you never know when God will be taking you. Whenever God is going to put you in the right place at the right moment. Last Thursday, God showed me just that, and how close. At 1 o'clock Thursday morning, I was in bed, asleep, and I heard this screeching noise come out, and a big crash. I got out of bed. I looked out the window, and I seen this big guy crawling over my fence. I heard sirens. There was 8 police cars surrounding this car. He tried to get into my back gate. Fortunately, the gate was locked, and the only thing he could do was turn around and raise his hands up. I went out and talked to the police. He told me that this guy was a known killer. He had just killed a person just earlier this morning or evening, whatever you call it. And I stood there through the whole thing trying to figure out what was going on. But at that moment, God put something on my heart. Several things. One is that if I would have opened that window, if he would have had that gun in his hand, because they found the gun right on the other side of the fence. They just got everything done and put him in a car. It took over an hour just to go through and make sure that there was nothing else that he had thrown out. Not only was he a cold killer, but he was high on meth. So there was nothing that he would have done at that point. I says, thank you, God, for sparing my life again. God says that, here, Brian, your life could have been gone, and I could have taken you. But Brian, I need you here. I have a purpose for you. Just like everybody else here, God has a purpose for you. And the whole thing is we need, especially to keep Jesus as a cornerstone through all this. And on top of that, God showed me another way of doing things. Just because I was scared, just because God told me to just watch the whole scenario without opening up that door or opening up that window and saying anything, he also asked me to pray for him. Even though he has sinned, he still is alive and still needs and deserves another chance. From yesterday, transformed, I seen he is in bonds. But as we stand in this church, our bonds are no longer chained. Through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And our faith and our trust in Him, God will always be there for us, no matter what. And everything that we thought that we've given up in life and just get depressed sometimes, God finds a way just to show you how much He loves you. Just like I found out on the very next day after that scary moment in time, I was still feeling pretty low about myself, trying to figure out, why am I still here? But the thing is it's amazing how God can work. And on top of that, for sparing my life, He has shown me that I could still be His servant. I've talked to the DVR last Friday. Not only did he approve trying to find a job for me, they said, if Ellen and I does not help, they'll help me through it all, because they said that I was college material.
Amen.
They said that they've never seen a report like this in quite a while. My scores were quite high, above average.
Praise God.
This is what God can do in our lives.
Come on. You can turn them around.
And He could just turn them around on a dime.
Amen.
You never can tell, but the thing is you think your life is over. In so many instances, you think your life might be over, but you never can tell from one moment to the next.
Right.
You just got to keep our hope and our faith and our trust.
That's right, brother.
And allow the Holy Spirit to direct you.
Amen.
Thank you.
He's transformed your life, hasn't He?
Amen.
It's not the same. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for our brother. God, we thank you for sparing his life. Lord, we thank you for the plans and the purposes, the destiny that you have for him. God, we thank you, Lord, that even though some said that he wasn't going to make it, Lord, you said, he's my son. He is going to make it. He is going to be successful in my kingdom. He's going to produce the fruit that I've called him to produce. He is going to walk in the works that I've destined him to walk in. We just declare that over our brother right now. We thank you for his life. Thank you for his heart, Lord, that is just so precious and so tender towards you. We pray, God, that it would be contagious, God, in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, this has been a long week. You know, the Lord blessed me last week by letting me and Tim go see our kids in California. And it was an amazing trip, but while I was there, I lost somebody I care about dearly, and then heard that another woman I care about dearly was also dying, and then Boston happened, and then Texas happened, and we're all in the middle of, what is going on, Lord? What's happening? And sometimes in these crises, we lose our identity, even as Christians, about who are we in Christ, and God, what are you doing? And at work this week, I have a lady who is watching her daughter die. And she herself has survived breast cancer, but she's watching her daughter die. And I got to pray with her this week, and the only thing I knew how to pray was, Lord, God, we do not know what you're doing. We do not understand, but Lord, we do know who you are.
Amen.
And the pastor at Bethel last week preached on, you know who you are in Christ, because we're talking about missions and missionaries and how we go out into the world. He said, you know who you are in Christ. You stand on that and you let him use the gifts he gave you, and that's your mission. We saw people do that in Boston. The first responders, people just go in and help in the fray while other people were running. We saw people do that in Texas. And In this world today, we are Boston, we are Texas, because lives are going and being destroyed by the wayside every day by the enemy. And it is up to us to stand in the fray and run into the chaos and say, I have help for you. I know who can help you. I bring you the witness of the Lord. Just look up. Just accept. Just receive. So yes, it's been a long week, and it's been a hell of a week. But God is our cornerstone this week. He's our cornerstone next week, and he's our cornerstone every single day. And so we should just stand in the knowledge of who we are in Christ, and that is our mission.
We felt last night, and it was a great movement of God. And this morning when I was reading the word, I came across a verse. It's James 4:5, and he says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. We forget that he made our spirit. Allow him in and feel the joy of the Lord this morning. Open up your hearts and worship the Lord. That joy that we felt last night is here too. That spirit is here. And it feels great. Amen. Hallelujah. He yearns. Have any of you ever yearned for anything? That's God. He yearns to dwell in you. He yearns. He wants to give you that. Don't hold back. Just let it go. He yearns for that jealously, he says, because he made you and me. He made you and me. Let him in your heart. Let that passion, that drive dwell in you. He wants to give it to you. It's right there. Just receive it. That's all you have to do. Because he yearns jealously for it. He yearns jealously for it. Get rid of that junk. Get rid of it. I shared with the men today, the Lord, that word fodder came into my mind. I go, fodder, what's fodder? He goes, everything that doesn't have to do with me is fodder. I go, and that's what they give the animals to fatten them up. It's just a filler. The world is just a filler. It has no nutrients. It can't sustain you. It can't do anything for you. We've all been there. We've came out of there. Step into the love of God. Step into that joy. It feels great. It feels great to be able to do that every day. Every day. He yearns for that. He yearns for that jealously. He's jealous. when you go off and do things in the world, he gets jealous. He goes, I made you. I know what you need. The world don't. I made you. I was there. And that's what the Lord had placed in my heart this morning. It's great. So receive the joy of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Hello, family. Can you hear me? I want to share something that happened. I have a lot of physical ailments, and I took the bus. I took the bus to Walmart, and I overloaded myself, and I kept speaking out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, when I got off the bus, I live right across the street from the bus terminal in that senior housing there, and yeah, let me tell you what happened. This is so cool. I was coming out of the bus, and I'm saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm losing it. My arm is going out of socket. My back has got a knife in it, and I'm struggling. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this tall gentleman. And I called out, hey, can you help me? And he come over there, and it was Dennis. It was our Dennis. And he said, you did do all things. He said, we did all things through Christ who strengthens us. He must have spent an hour at my new house. I got to tell you what God did. I was in a two-room shack for 6 years doing drugs and staying drunk. Joshua and his family prayed me out of hell. God bless Joshua, Michelle, and the kids. They have, for about 3 years now, been working with me. God got me, and they've been saying, you got to get out of here, you got to get out of here. God put me into senior housing. I've got a huge living room, a beautiful bedroom. I've got a gigantic kitchen. I don't know, I could get lost in there. I've got a huge cast iron bathtub in primo condition. God has blessed me so, so, so much. And all the... Remember last Thanksgiving, I had a home invasion. I've had my window broke out, my house robbed, all kinds of, all the time. I live in a security building now. Is God good? Give God a hand.
Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Tim came up to me and he goes, I think it's time for the men now. So I'll take that as a prophetic word. So, Nick, are you good to come up and be on the piano a little bit? You're good to stay on the guitar, Glenn? How about you on the drums for a little bit, Stephen? Or no? Okay. So as you guys can, make your way up to the stage. I think the children are going to stay up. I think they need to hear what God's doing. As men, make your way up to the platform. Some are still sitting there. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. I have a tendency to do that sometimes, not make myself clear. Don't I, honey? Sometimes I don't make myself clear to myself. Now, that's really dangerous. Yeah, you can go tell that one to your class. Did you hear that, Jay? There's another one for God. Make myself clear to myself. Think about that, yeah. Evidently, Jay tells people some of the weird things that I say, so I thought you might want to catch that one, Jay. We missed you yesterday, bro, but I know you got some settling in to do. Hey, I got to tell you, God is great, and I know this is before the men, but let me tell you, this couple right here, stand up, Jay and Kelly, for a moment, because this is important. This is how God works. What, for 2 years, you guys tried to sell your house, right? And, I mean, you tried all the different ways and everything, and he didn't let him sell it. I'm going to say it that way. But what was it, last fall, they went through Financial Peace University. And God got their life in order financially. I mean, he wrecked them financially. They are on such a same page. I know you guys would like to maybe have it better, but compared to where you were, oh my goodness. And then, guess what? He sold their house. And now they're in a house right now that they bought, praise God, and it's half the cost they were paying before, and it's just what they need. God is good. Come on. Serving him is worth it, isn't it? Amen. You can be seated. What? Oh, you have to say something. Okay.
See, now they're cooking with peanut oil.
I didn't mean to embarrass you, but I mean, I hope I didn't steal your testimony either, but you guys can say the whole story sometime. Wow, what a great group of men. Praise God. So this, I have been, Pastor Kim, maybe you know, I don't know how many of these events type of things we've done. I'm, I guess, at 50 or something by now. And I have never not speaked. I've always spoken. Sometimes I've done 4 sessions at Encounters. But this one, I was able to sit and watch the anointing of God, the glory of God, the speaking directly of the Holy Spirit through men of God, and it was powerful. It was powerful. It was life-changing. And I just want to tell you guys who spoke yesterday and how you yielded the Spirit and you know, just gave it all to the Lord. You were used mightily by the Lord. You won't even know until I believe you get to heaven of what really significance yesterday was. I believe that with all my heart. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. This is, as we always say, and I know it sounds like old hat, but you never have the same encounter, same transform with God when you get together, because you know our lives are in a process of changing. He's always got new sides of himself to show you. And I'm going to start off with a testimony. I've got to keep it somewhat discreet, but over 20-something years ago, I was previously married, and I ended up having a divorce. My previous wife divorced me and left, and it was a very, very difficult time. I was left with a child who was fully handicapped, had cerebral palsy. He basically was like an invalid. And so it was a devastating effect in my life. It literally felt like I was split in two. Lynette, you can relate. Gay, you can. Anyone who's gone through divorce, you know, it's like your whole being's just been torn apart. So it was a very, very hard time. And then several years later, I was at work where the Lord had blessed me. I was in a great position at my job, and someone was trying to get a job there that was a kind of an instigator in what took place. It wasn't all their fault, but it was an instigator. And I said, you know, I don't want him to work here. And I was Christian. I was full of faith. I just didn't want to have to deal with it. Well, get this. During David's time yesterday of sharing on forgiveness, which men, normally we don't do forgiveness anymore at Transforms. We've been doing Priest of the Home, which is really important. Well, we did Priest of the Home and forgiveness yesterday. So I'm so thankful that David was sensitive when he was looking over those subject matters, and I didn't exclude forgiveness when I sent it to him. But I mean, it wrecked quite a few men. It wrecked quite a few men, including myself. While he was speaking, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that time and wanted me to deal with it. And I forgave that individual. Wrote this incident on a piece of paper, said I told the Lord I forgave him. Then I found another brother, and I went to him, and I confessed that, and he prayed for me. And I got to tell you, I felt like another thing had been pulled out of me that I didn't even know existed. I got to tell you guys, we cannot take for granted the status of how we are. We can't think that we are all fixed. It doesn't matter what position you have, doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, doesn't matter what you've learned in the past or what your previous experience in God was. You can be transformed again. And I know some of you, you know, have been to Transform. Some of you have been to Encounters. And this is not just an advertisement. This is a thing to tell you. God wants to transform you right in your seat right now. He wants to transform you when you go home this week. Every day there's a rhema word. There's a daily bread for you that will make you more like Jesus. And if we are not desperate and hungry for that transformation, then we're only going to go the other way. We're either going to advance in God or we're going to retreat. And when we retreat, we're not going the right way. We're going to the way of darkness. So I'm here to tell you that Pastor Mike, just sitting, didn't teach any of us yesterday, God wrecked me and gave me a fresh breath from heaven afterwards. So praise God. Amen. Thank you, David. Speaking of that, David, come up and share.
You know, it's funny, I was one of the first guys up here, and I stood so far back, so I would be in the back, but everything kind of got pushed farther, so I guess that's what I get. I got to speak first. You know, Pastor Mike said, you know, it was different than the last. I've been to a few of these, and I mean, I still remember the first one. I was like, well, I got a Saturday off, you know. I'm not going to go spend 12 hours at a church, you know, like, I'm going to go to church on Sunday anyways. But from that first time that I went and got to spend the whole day just getting just new revelation and just life just spoken into me and just like a whole another encouragement and motivation just to live a life for the Lord and to just really seek His ways because they're perfect. Yesterday was... wow, every speaker, every brother in Christ that got a chance to speak, I mean, Moses and Tyson and Stephen and Josh and Nick, I mean, the just words from the Lord, they were just spoken. And I mean, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of us. We can't take credit for the words that were spoken because, I mean, I didn't know what I was going to say about forgiveness. And I mean... The Lord just works through us no matter what. And yesterday, I say my biggest revelation came, although, I mean, the speakers were great, my biggest revelation came from talking to Ken. I mean, not only are the speakers, I mean, awesome and, like, everything, but the fellowship is great, too, just getting to, you know, sharpen iron with iron. And I had a chance to talk to Ken, and I realized some habits that I have. I put everything in a box. I grew up, you know, organized and structured, which it's good, but I'm bringing that into my Christian walk as well, which we can't keep that in a box. We can't wait for a situation to be right. We can't look at circumstances and say, oh, well, I'm going to do this when this happens. And it's like... having a chance to share with Ken and to just be able to recognize that and realize that was just like, wow, there's so much that, you know, the Lord has for me to do. There's so much the Lord has for all of us to do. We can't wait for a situation. We can't wait to be qualified. At the end of the night, Glenn asked, you know, has anybody ever felt unqualified? I was like, yeah, I do all the time for this. Like, I can't speak to people about Jesus until I know this. I can't pray for people until this. But, you know, it's done. The work was finished. His Spirit is in us. It's just letting go and just being led by the Spirit. So, I mean, yesterday was an amazing time. And I just, as a word of encouragement, don't wait for a situation to be perfect because it doesn't fit in a box that you have made. Just step out and go. The Lord is with you, and you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be discouraged. He will strengthen you, and He will be your strength and your weakness, and He will be your cornerstone. Just give Him that. Let Him do that. So, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ready, Moses?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, what are you doing? Had a great time last night. From the beginning to the end, it was great. But there was one session, like Pastor was saying, that the forgiveness session. It was crazy because I when we got there, I sat at the very front. I was like, Lord, I'm here to take everything in. I'm here. And then I started seeing the tenure, and then I saw all of a sudden I seen forgiveness. And I noticed I sat in the back. You know, I just, like, oh, I could listen from afar. You know, I'm good. I kept telling God, I'm good. I'm all right. He goes, well, what about this? I go, Lord, don't pick at that. Don't pick at that. I liked having that crutch. I liked it. He goes, well, what about that, son? I'm like, leave that alone. I was back there. I was in the way. I started out in the front, and then next thing you know, I'm in the back. And it wasn't until I fully released it, forgave those who trespassed against me and my family and everyone else. It wasn't until I fully released it that I received the joy. That was some joy, you know. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? I go, if I wouldn't have let that go, I would have never received that joy and that peace. I thought I was good. I just leave that alone, God. Just don't mess with that. That's my crutch. I like that. It's my blankie, you know, like Linus, you know. I like it once in a while, you know. But thank God he freed me from that. Thank God, or else I would have never felt the way I felt yesterday. And the joy of the Lord. Now I understand, like I shared with the guys, why my mom always sang every day from morning till night. And she'd always tell me, there's nothing like the joy of the Lord, son. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. And I'd hear her singing from day, from sun up to sun down while she's in the kitchen cooking. I'm like, man, don't you ever get tired of singing? I used to think as a child. It took me 40 years to understand it, but now I understand the joy of the Lord. And if you don't have some, get some, because it's the greatest feeling in the world. And God bless you all.
Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I'm real French. Bill French.
First of all, I want to say, I am honored and overwhelmed to be in the presence of such fine children of God and men of God. Yes. Yesterday, I wasn't going to go to Transformed class yesterday. I had stuff to do at home. And finally, I just went out, got in the car, come up here. When I pulled into this parking lot, I couldn't wait to get out of the car. I had to come in here and find out why I've been so sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And yesterday I answered that question. I'm just going to let go, and I'm going to let God take over. And I'm going to become the priest of my household that I'm supposed to be, that God requires me to be. And I'm going to forgive when it comes time to forgive. And I'm going to figure out what the cross means to me. I don't have an answer to that question yet, Tyson. I'm going to figure it out, though. And most of all, Janet, I'm going to love you like God requires me to love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, Tyson wants to talk. Is it any surprise that the speakers want to talk? Come on.
Pastor Mike had sent me a text about a week ago, and he said, what session would you like to teach on? I thought about it. And I said, let me get back to you. Let me pray about it. Let me hear from the Lord and see what he has to say. He said, perfect answer. So I was praying and going through some of my Transform papers, and there was a certain session that I wanted to speak on, and I was about ready to sent a text back to Pastor Mike, and God said, no, you're going to speak on the revelation of the cross. And there was some arm wrestling, I guess you could say. And I'm gonna speak on this. God said, no, you're going to speak on the revelation of the cross. Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to text Pastor Mike, see if that session's already been taken. Or maybe he has other ideas. So I sent him a text. What do you think of a revelation of the cross? And I was thinking he'd reply back, you know. It's already taken. No. He says, praise the Lord, that's the one I wanted you to do. I went, okay, I guess that's the one I'm going to do. But, you know, God works in great ways because revelation means that he's going to reveal, that he's going to open things up to you. And I think that I received just as much, if not more, than the guys received on the revelation of the cross. I'm like getting all this revelation, all these visions and these words from God. And I'm like, wow, this is great stuff. And so I'm just pouring my heart out. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I am so glad that you chose this session. And it's by appointment that God has us go a different avenue or a certain way that is contrary to our own beliefs and our own understandings. And praise the Lord that, you know, out of obedience, somewhat, I guess you could say, that I was able to speak on this session. And there's some points that God really opened me up to during this session. And one of them was the scripture, take up your cross daily. And I've heard that many, many times. And I said, yes, Lord. You want me to speak on taking up the cross daily? He said, yes. Take up your cross daily. Because, church, if we're not picking up our cross daily, then what are we picking up? And I thought, oh, wow. And he said, where are you picking up? And I said, well, I want to pick you up. And he said, oh, are you? Are you picking me up? So I try. And the second point that he really showed me was, why are you running from the cross? The cross is not made for you to run from. It's made for you to draw near to. And too many times we're running from the cross. We're running away from something. And we need to take our situations, our problems, our burdens to the cross, because we're not made to carry those burdens. We're not made to carry that weight. We're not strong enough. Even Brother James here, he's a big guy and he's not even strong enough. But you know what? Christ is the one that's the strong one. And you know, the only disappointment I got out of this transform was that Brother James was challenged to Brother Josh here, Pastor Josh, to an arm wrestling match, and I didn't get to see that. And I'm thinking, oh no, my money's on Brother James here. He's got him whipped. And Pastor Josh here was speaking, and he's going in one hand. He's got this podium here, and he goes, boom, and he just rips that thing up and breaks it into one. I'm going, okay, I changed my mind. I'm putting my money on Pastor Josh now. So I never got to see the challenge, so I was a little disappointed on that, but that's all right. We had a great time. One last thing I wanted to speak about was Stephen had spoke about being priests of our home. And I've heard this brought several times by different individuals and speakers. And it really moved me when he said that Sarah is my princess and I am the king. And he said, we are to treat our wives like princesses. And I said, okay, I receive that. And God said, do you receive that? Do you really receive that? And I said, yeah, I receive that. He said, do you treat your wife like a princess? See, I think so. God said, no, you don't. You treat her like a servant. So I'm sorry, babe. You are my princess. And I love you, okay?
Marcos.
I don't usually do this, but, you know, yesterday, you know, I wasn't going to go. I had an interview, and I've been praying. I've been praying to God to help me find another job because my job puts me through a lot of pain. My hands hurt every day. They cramp up. They swell up. And earlier this week, I got home from work after working a 9-hour shift, and my mom told me that her friend passed by and offered me a job. Well, I went for the interview yesterday, and I liked the job, and I'm going to take it. And I thank God for that first. But yesterday, what really stood out to me was, you know, what Brother Moses was saying. Now, he said this world is filling us with nothing but fodder. And that's how it was for a long time. I never accepted Christ. You know, I never really took that big step until I met my wife. You know, all the stuff I've done, you know, it's really came back on me. You know, it's haunted me. But through that, I have been made whole. Through God, it strengthens me. And, you know, now I have two beautiful children, a beautiful wife, beautiful family. Look at her. And, you know, it spoke to me because, you know, I've let that fodder fill me up for so long, for so many years. It's taken over me. It took its toll. But now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm saved. You know, now my heart belongs to the Lord. You know, to me, I had an awesome time yesterday. It was really fun. We had Josh playing songs, and we had a little Glennie over here dancing around. It's pretty fun, you know, and it was really awesome. I had a good time. You know, also, you know, Stephen was, I forgot who was saying on forgiveness, but, you know, that's what God really stood out to me, you know. You know, it must have been hard for my wife. I can't even imagine. You know, the things I've done to her. You know, I had another, you know, I committed adultery. I had another child. And I can see that I must have hurt her. Not only her, but it hurt me. And, you know, I just thank God that he forgave me. I took it to a cross. He forgave me. And now she's my wife. She's the love of my life. She's my princess. Thank you, guys.
Hey man, I really feel that the Lord wants us to gather around our brother. He wants to do a work in him here today. And I know we could have prayed for him yesterday, but for whatever reason, the Lord wants to do it right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for Marcos, God. We thank you, Lord, for a heart that's no longer stony. God, you've given a heart of flesh. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we lay hands on our brother. And we declare that your will be done. So much he desires that, Lord. More than anything, God, he wants to follow you now. Lord, we just add our faith, Lord, with his faith. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just continue to complete this work that you've started in this man of God. That his eyes would see supernaturally the direction, the path that you want him to walk in. That you, Holy Spirit, would fill him to overflowing, that he is literally a river of you that spills out into others' lives. And God, let the mind of Christ be upon him now in Jesus' name. Let the glory of God, the power of heaven, flood his soul in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think we need, I'll save you for the end because there can be some fire. I want some more fire right now, though. Mr. Prophesying Man last night. All the young men of God got blessed. He had some powerful words over him. Bless you. Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Well, we're speaking about arm wrestling. But I can see myself in between some pillars using the strength of what Samson had. What a mighty man. But I'm just going to say that that transforming group yesterday morning, it was so powerful. It started powerful. Then it went into the late wee hours in the night. I wanted to be there all night long. It was hard for me to leave last night. I was wanting all what God was giving me. And God was steady filling me at the end of that service. God had me to start preaching. It's supposed to be a transformer speaking class, but God wanted me to preach. And I was led to prophesy over a couple of men here. But I'm going to say a few more things about a brother up here, and as soon as I get done here, I'm going to say that Satan is still on a rampage. He's still out there. Me and my wife, and we was having some confrontation with each other. You know how some women's are, you know, but just as bad as men, but whatever. But you know, I'm not gonna put all that on my wife. It's more or less me too. So we are as one. We are as one. But anyway, we got in a little consultation with each other and disagreement. And I said, hold it, honey. Let's don't do no more of this speaking in each other like this. We need to get on our face and get before God. That's what we did. We went up to the upper room, turned on our worship music, and we fell on our knees before God and started calling out on Jesus Christ. I sensed then that front door shut. I peeped around the corner a little bit. I seen Satan on his way out. He can't stand the pressure. He can't stand it. It's no way. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for Stephen spoke yesterday on that priesthood of the home. It was an awesome message from a young man that didn't know about the priesthood of the home because he was a young man, 20-something years old. He thought maybe it should be the men that's over 60 and 70 years old. But anyway, the priesthood of my home, I was a priesthood of my home that day. Said, Satan, we got to get out. We got to go with Jesus. Jesus is going to take care of everything for us. Honey, I just want to tell you right now, honey, I love you with unconditional love. With the power of love that you stand in the corner with me. I got such a beautiful wife, and she's a hard-working woman for the Lord also. But I love you so much. And I love this congregation of brothers and sisters here. I love you all. You can all say you got a big brother that goes to One Life. Big brother James Williams. But anyway, Satan is, oh, hallelujah. Satan is a man that, or whatever he is, a slew foot, one foot, whatever. He's the one that tried to get into the mind. But God is for your heart. He's at the heart of man. That's powerful. But anyway, I prophesied yesterday. I prophesied over this young man right here. Beautiful voice on this man that God have given this man. This man pick a guitar with the golden fingers. And I believe God is going to take him beyond another measure in life for his singing. You're going to be singing. Whoo! I'm sitting there sweating a while ago. I said the fire has already come down on me. The fire is dropping. But anyway, I say, get ready. He's coming your way. Hallelujah. He's coming your way. I just want to thank you. I thank you. God bless you all.
That's Brother James. That is Brother James. Let's see. Rick, do you have something to share? Well, there you go. Well, come on.
You always have words of wisdom. I've been to a lot of conferences and a lot of things and watched a lot of inspirational videos, but there was a lot of inspiration last night. Touched a lot of us. And I can't really, in the top of my mind, remember everything, you know, we were taught about, but it was just inspiring just to be there with other brothers, sharing with one another, be there for one another. And then knowing God was right there instructing the whole thing. It was just so awesome. And I just give God the praise and the glory for everything that He does in our lives every day. And I thank you for the change He's doing in this church. I give Him the glory. And I thank you for our pastors as well.
Come on, Stephen. I know he shared a little bit, but...
No, Moses told me I couldn't cry, but whatever. It's all good. He just doesn't want to cry. That's what it's all about. You know, I learned something yesterday, that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself on me in the natural, and it's right there. Right there. Always, and it's only at church. It's never at work. It's never doing anything else. It's only at church, so that's all good. You know, I want to clarify something that Tyson said, not to put you on the spot, but I said our wives are the princesses of the Most High. Of the Most High, and we need to treat them like they're princesses of the Most High. Here I am, 23. Not even married for 3 years. How am I supposed to teach 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old men who've been married for as long as I've been alive? But the Holy Spirit came through. It was good. Good weekend. Or day, whatever. We were worshiping last night, and, you know, I'm always playing the drums, or I'm always doing something. I'm never just worshiping, and you know, the Spirit comes on me when I'm playing the drums, and it's all good, and it feels nice, and it's whatever, but I was playing the cajon, it's just a little box, and I told Nick, I was like, I think I need to sing a song, and I don't sing. Okay, let me just tell you, sounds like nails on a chalkboard. When I sing. But the Holy Spirit asked me to sing. And I don't care if it did anything else for anybody else, but it broke me. Like I haven't been broken before. And this love just came over me for the Lord, and I was like, it's like just a breath of fresh air. And I encourage all of you, when you have that burning inside of you and that feeling, and the Lord is asking you to step out, maybe it's to throw your hands up during a worship song, maybe it's to cry out to Him as you're driving down the road or in the shower or what have you, but when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, you need to step out and say, okay, here I am, I'll do it. All right, because just on the other side of your obedience is going to be your breakthrough. Just on the other side of that is when you're going to go, that feels really nice. I don't know. Anyhow, it was a great weekend. There's some great men of God, and I just want to admonish all of the husbands out there. Go home and love your wife like you've never loved her before. Love her like you would love your daughter, or you would want somebody to love your daughter, rather. Love her as the princess of the Most High, because that's what they are.
Dan, come on up. Probably don't have anything to say, but... It's
Well, I can say I almost made it the entire time. I was real close. I got called out to go to the hospital, and so I missed the cross one. So when I came back, I realized that that was probably one of the best ones because that's the one I missed. But, you know, it was amazing to see the guys when I walked in just worshiping and laying things at the cross. And even though I wasn't able to be there for that session, I felt like I was there because of the cross. And so and it was great to see all the young guys being used of the Lord, including my son, which was exciting to watch him teach and to glean from him as my son. So God bless you guys.
Praise the Lord. How about you, Ken? Come on up. I wasn't going to let you off the hook.
Thank you. Well, there's been a lot of reference to the youngest and the 70-year-old, so I'll claim the old one. Anyway, it was a great day yesterday. The Lord was ever present. And all these brothers here were very supportive. And it is a wonderful thing to see young men avoid all the pitfalls of their life by getting an early start in this. You know, it's pretty hard to listen to a 23-year-old tell me what I'm doing wrong when I know I'm doing it wrong. But anyway, he did, and I have not treated my wife like the princess that she is, and I need to remember whose daughter she really is. You know? I just thank everybody here. Thank you.
You've shared already, so. Are you going to be okay? Why does everybody think he's going to do something? Okay.
Tissues. Thank you, Josh, for bringing these tissues up here. I feel like Transformed for me started about 2 weeks ago, which might sound kind of strange, but Barb actually, after church, came up and shared a word with me that she got from the Lord. And it was, she came up and she was praying for someone, and she couldn't tell who it was because there was all this padding around them that she couldn't, that there were layers around me that wasn't allowing her to see inside of me, see who I am. So as she prayed for me, the Lord started stripping all of that away, and he started washing that away. And she just told me, you know, when you're showering, when you're getting cleaned up, imagine the Lord washing all that away. Imagine every stain coming off, everything that's holding me back from my Father. Imagine that coming off. So that took me on a wild journey there for the last couple weeks. But yesterday when we started worship, the Spirit of God was in full force. I mean, within the first 5 minutes, I went home and I was sharing with my family, because my wife's family is here this weekend. Praise the Lord, Hugh and Isabel. But I was like, well, in the first 5 minutes, we were just worshiping, and a couple people came up and shared songs, and God laid on my heart this song, and I don't remember what was going on, but it was just, I am yours, I'm free from the pains of divorce, because something I never really realized was how much I had built up myself, surrounded with walls of protection because my parents got divorced at a young age. And I never respected how much that really hurt me. And I just walked through my life like that didn't happen. And I walked through my life like I was this whole man when really my heart was broken. Until the day when I met my Father, when I met Jesus and he reconciled me. And he said, son, all of that is broken off. And then at the end of Transformed last night during worship, I mean, I felt unqualified to share my heart with these men. For whatever reason, the enemy had me holding down in a box because he doesn't want me to realize the full glory that God has for me and the plan that he has for me. But by his strength and by his pushing, I let it out. And the chains are broken. And I realized that all the chains are broken. He's not just partially going to come in and say, this happened right here, and you know, we'll take that away now, and then later we'll work on this. He says, you follow me, you put your faith in me, and it's all gone. He doesn't just go piece by piece. He has you in his hands completely, and he always has. And that's something he reminded me of too, is that you have always been my child. Not just since you've been following me, you always have been. So if any of you have ever felt like you're not his child, know that's a lie from the enemy. Because you are all beautiful, wonderfully, and perfectly made by him. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to save you for last so that you can share kind of that prophetic vision you had in the morning. Josh, come on up.
Don't break the podium. Good.
Okay, well, here's how we're going to roll. God is good. God is good. The God of the Bible, the one who has brought us all here, the one who raised Christ from the dead, the one who heals hearts, the one that you read about, is not just a story. That God, he's here right now. In each one of us, that God that you hear these great testimonies about, is not the beautiful thing is he's not restricted to a book or to a building or a certain experience. And that's something we got to walk with, that we have to purpose. And I'm just sharing my heart. What's coming out is a combination of just what God is doing in me and what he's doing in us. And that is a purpose of running a race to win, not hoping that things will be okay, that not hoping that everything will just get better like Stephen shared, or the fodder or the slop and feeding on it and just appearing to get by day, but purposely seeking his face and knowing him in a way that he has created us and allowed us to do. Not just a story. It's not just a good news story that we're standing up here, that we're alive. It's not just a great news story that our hearts are brand new. It's reality. It's reality. He's alive right here and right now. And it's not. And I'm just saying, these transforms rock. This getting together, any time that we get together in the name of Christ, is a blessing beyond measure. Any time that you're with another believer and that your goals are to edify one another in Christ and to lift up his name, that's top notch. And I just want us, ladies are next week, students are the following week, men were yesterday, and we're celebrating it today, and we just have to know that we're walking this thing out, moment by moment, linking arms, understanding that it's for a purpose and a reason, that God is there, the God of no measure, Holy Spirit without limit, resides in each one of us. It's not just something to talk about. It's not just a story. It is power. It is reality. And I love every one of you guys because God first loved me. He took out this heart, this wretched, stony heart, and he gave it life. And I can stand up here with confidence, with a smile on my face that is legit. This is a real smile. and I mean it, but it's all glory to God. So what we experience and these testimonies, we just need to walk it out now. Just walk it out every moment. Forgiveness, like we said yesterday, is not a one-time thing. It's a praise and worship. Do you pray an hour a day? Do you pray 2 hours a day? Do you pray half an hour a day? I have a suggestion from the Word of God. Pray all day. Pray all day. Praises. Thanksgiving. Give Him thanks. No matter what's going on, give Him thanks. I'm sure many of us can say things going on around us that are tough. They are tough. You give Him thanks. It's all for His glory. You ain't hopeless. Your situation, the end to it, is a glorious end. So let's give Him hope. And as we're celebrating this victory, as we're celebrating the things that God's doing in our heart, we share it so that we can all grow closer to Him. Amen? Amen. But let's walk it out. I'm saying, let's just, that was great. I had a great time. I love every one of you guys. And I know in your hearts you know that. Whether how close we, it doesn't matter. I know that you know that. Let's walk it out. Let's give Him the glory, and let's walk it out. You going to treat your wife like a princess? I'm guarantee you ain't going to do it on your own. If you are not entertaining the presence of God, you can try all you want. But if you ain't entertaining His presence, you're going to have a heck of a time doing it. Right? Let's walk together. That's all. We're a family. This is a beautiful thing we have here. This is a glory. This is heaven on earth, if you ask me. When we can come together in the name of Christ and be edified and lift up His name, that's heaven on earth. We're family here, right? And we'll always be together. We'll always be together. So let's celebrate what we have and let's just walk it out.
So, like, from the very beginning, like Glenn was saying yesterday, it's like we went from having fun. I think we ate breakfast and everything, and it's like immediately, like, the Holy Spirit just, like, crazy fell in that room. And I don't know how many minutes into it, but I really felt like God speaking to me that God wanted to release a new song with our men. And I really feel like God is changing the scope of what worship is in a lot of ways and how it's been taught and how it's been led. And it's like we are the worship team. There's not like a worship team and there's a worship leader, but we are the worship leaders and we are the worship team, everyone. And it was unbelievable, like, how men just begin to come up and begin to sing like just the song of the Lord. And every time that happened, something else was just released into the room. And I just encourage you guys as a congregation, you are a worship leader. You are your own worship leader. When you're in your car, when you're in your house, when you're in the sanctuary, wherever you are, begin to sing the song of the Lord, because God has released a spirit of prophecy in this house. And it was so powerful yesterday. And just everything was flowing yesterday. Like, each session is like God meant and ordained it to follow one after the other. And man, it was just so powerful. And at the very end, like Moses was talking about earlier, how God like released just this joy in the room. And it's like the joy, like the Bible says, how the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's like if we think about the strength of God breaks everything, like, and it's more powerful than anything. And so when we have God's joy in our spirit, in our heart, literally nothing else can stand in our lives. And so it's like that's what happened. It's like that immediately was released in our lives. And so it was unbelievable. It was really powerful.
So I feel like the Lord is He starts, for some reason, he's sovereignly done this for all the years. Something happens in the men, that first one, and it's almost like it's an impartation for the next week for the women. It's not always the same, but it's like there's an anointing. And I really believe the anointing yesterday was fire. It was weaved throughout the whole session. And the first song, Lord, I saw like fire burning around us the whole time. And it felt like there were flames of fire all day in my spirit. And I just felt the Lord say to me to sing, I see your fire burning. I see your fire burning. And as that fire started to just burn in me, it spread. And I believe that the women of God, the faithful ones, the ones who are hungry, the ones who are desperate, the ones who just need, to get out of the rut of life and the dead end that it seems to be, that God wants to impart his fire. But with that fire comes a song. With that fire comes a heart that just burns in worship before God. So I've asked Nick and Glenn and Stephen to just take, we're going to take a few minutes here. We're just going to entertain as we did the presence of the Lord. And I want to encourage the women who are going to be going next week. And if you're not signed up and you can't go, I don't want you to feel excluded because for some reason you work, And the youth, I want you to come up if you're so inclined, and just to experience a little bit, because I believe the Lord's going to release some things here. Maybe some that didn't even do anything yesterday. It's going to happen today. Maybe it's one of you down on the floor that all of a sudden the Lord's going to burn in your heart a song of the Lord, and you're maybe not used to this. But this is something, it's been, it's happened before in the past. It's not like this is something brand new. But there is a sound from heaven. I don't know how else to describe it. It happens when I play my guitar now. Happens when we get together and play with each other, guitar or piano. And it's just like it flows. It happens on Saturday nights, right in the middle of a song we're listening to. And what it is, it is literally a voice from God that comes out of us. You say, well, how's the voice of God going back to him in praise? Well, what that instrument of praise releases revelation. It says in Revelation that it's the worship or the praise of God that releases prophecy, and that's what's happening. And so these songs of the Lord are going to release a new dimension, a new dynamic in the kingdom of God for us. There's going to be more of a reality that we are the children of God, that we are the people of God, that we are called for such a time as this, that this is our hour, this is our time. Not in a pious, not in a proudful way, but in a secure identity way, in a way that distributes the love that's been poured in our hearts out to others. So just start, guys, however it goes, and let's just see where the Lord takes us for a few minutes.
God, this morning we just release your fire. God, we release your power in this place. Father God, we release your glory, God, to be manifested in this place, Lord. God, we ask that you would come in a fresh way, Jesus. God, that you would come in a fresh way right now, Father God. That every heart, God, every life would be touched by your glory, Jesus. We release your glory in this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Fall fresh and new. Holy Spirit, come. Come and make us new. Jesus, Spirit, come. Fall fresh and new. Yeah. Holy Spirit, come. Come and make us new. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You're asking, Lord, for your Spirit to move. Spirit to move, Lord. Spirit, come, Lord. Cry out. we cry out, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, you are worthy, Jesus. Oh, you are holy, God. Holy is the Lord. 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 Yes, Jesus. God, I thank you that this morning, God, that the world says we're one thing, but God, you call us another thing, Lord. You have, God, you have given us an identity in you, Jesus. God, and we don't, God, we don't look back to who we were, but God, we look to who you called us to be, Lord Jesus. And we pray that the fire of God would begin to burn in our spirits. The fire of God would begin to burn in our hearts this morning. God, that you would burn away the dross. God, you would burn away the old man. God, that we would be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. Holy Spirit, we just call down the fire of God to begin to burn in this place, Lord Jesus. Begin to burn in this place like we've never experienced, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Come on, let's worship him. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Come on, just sing it out to the Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, worthy is the Lord. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah, have your way. Hallelujah, not the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every voice proclaim the name of the Lord, and hallelujah, and hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord.
Oh,
worshiping there, the Lord showed me a picture, and it was about the women of God. And he was showing me that what you have received here today and what has been communicated through the testimonies and through the sharing of all the whole service is that God has kind of given you a torch of fire to carry during the week. He's kind of given you an igniting point. And he wants you to carry it with you. He wants you to use it to light your week, to not let darkness try to invade it. And when it does, you hold that up and you remind the enemy that he has no place, no room, that he has to flee, that darkness and light have been separated. And that next week when you go and you enter into that room, that it's not just going to be one torch then, it's going to be a mighty group of torches. They're going to light the fire of God. It's like going to be like a bonfire. It's going to burn all day long. And you guys are going to enjoy the warmth and the security of it. But also you're going to enjoy the purification that it brings. You're going to enjoy the cleansing that you experience. You're going to enjoy the newness of your being when you leave. And just how God has just burnt away everything that has been hindering you and holding you back. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for that, God. We do. We just impart right now as men of God that have experienced the fire of God, and we impart that to these women of God and to the youth the following week, Lord. These flames, these torches, God, that they will carry, that will allow them to continue to experience, Lord, your flame burning throughout all this week until they come next week to their transform, their encounter, their time with you. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. God, we thank you for the revelation and the transformation, the understanding, and the love that you're going to bestow upon your daughters, upon your princesses, upon your loves, Lord. Just let them just experience all of you as you want them to. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you women excited? You better be. If you're not excited, get excited, because you're going to have an amazing time. God bless you all. Love you. Hug somebody. Bless them in the name of Jesus.